We look at our text this morning again. We look at John's Gospel in the post-resurrection appearance of Jesus to his disciples. And as I looked at that this week, I always try and come up with an overall meaning or understanding from the text of what it might mean so that we have something to grasp and kind of give it a name. And the only thing that I kept coming up with was take a right turn at Calvary and stay on that road. For any of you who have ever asked for directions, you've been in this situation where you've been lost. I know a lot of people come down Gap Road. You can tell just the way they come down the road that they're lost. And they're looking for 44. They didn't make the turn down here. And they'll see me and they'll stop and they'll say, "Could you tell me how to get back to 44? Am I on 44? And I say, "No. The first thing you have to do, you have to turn around. Then you have to go back down to the stop sign at the intersection and you have to take a left. If you're going one direction, right, if you're going the other." And that's kind of the case of what's going on here in our text today. As we look at John's Gospel, we have to remember that John is presenting Jesus as the Son of God. And in this particular part of Scripture, he's presenting the Son of God in a post-resurrection appearance to his disciples. But I want you to remember that this comes in the context of Jesus' appearance to doubting Thomas. Remember when he came to the room they were meeting in? The first time he came, Thomas wasn't there. The second time he came, Thomas was. And he showed Thomas his hands, the nail marks in his hands. And Thomas finally believed, or he no longer doubted. Next in line, John presents this interesting story that afterwards Jesus appeared to his disciples again by the Sea of Tiberias. This is the Sea of Galilee. And John begins to tell us this story that happened there on the Sea of Galilee and how it happened and why it happened and what was really going on. And we see, first of all, Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together there by the Sea of Galilee. And Peter says, "I'm going out to fish." The other said, "Well, we'll go with you." So they went out, they got into the boat, and they caught nothing all night long. They fished all night long with the nets and caught nothing. It says, early that morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. They could not probably figure out who it was through the fog of the early morning. So Jesus called out to them, and he said, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" And they answered him, "No." And Jesus plainly says, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Now, we start to see the reaction of the disciples. What happens? They realize that Jesus, the resurrected Son of God, is now standing there on the shore. He knows that everything. He tells them what to do, and when they're obedient, they receive the blessing of all of this catch, this fish, this abundance. It tells the disciple whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." And Simon Peter wrapped his outer garment around him, jumped into the water, and headed for shore. And Jesus told them to bring some of the fish that they had just caught. Simon climbed aboard and helped drag the net ashore with all these fish in the net. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast. Let's commune together." And it's funny that none of them even dared to ask him who he was. They knew who it was. They knew there was only one man that knew this, that could have done this. They had seen Jesus multiply the loaves and the fishes, feeding the multitudes. They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, did the same with the fish. And it was the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So first we see in this first part of the text of John's writing here this morning that the resurrected Christ is able to do miracles and miraculous things in our lives. This shows us that Jesus is not just a dead guy. He's not up there waiting for us to come. He has come down to be part of our lives. He's come down to participate in our lives and to show us that he still is all-knowing, he still is all-powerful, he still is all-present, and is able to do the miraculous things in our lives. The second thing John wants to tell us here involves Peter, the personal story of Peter. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, he turned specifically to Peter, and he said, "Simon, son of John, son of Jonah, do you truly love me more than these?" Now, I don't want to get stuck on words here this morning. What does he mean by these? Well, some commentators will say Jesus was referring to the fish, the boat, all of their fishing gear, because Peter was a fisherman, and his passion and his love, first and foremost, was for fishing. Other commentators will say Jesus is asking Peter if Peter loved him more than all the other disciples, his friends, and those who meant so much to him. But I want you to see beyond that, to the whole picture that's really, really being brought out here, that John wants to show us. He wants to show us the actions of the Son of God. This isn't about Peter, it's about Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ. He says, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," Peter said. Jesus said, "Then feed my lambs," implying that Peter would carry on the ministry of Jesus, that Peter would continue to do what Jesus had done, that he would take over Jesus' people and his followers and continue to nourish them and strengthen them. Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" And Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." And a third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt this third time because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." Now, Peter is the focus of this story here, personally. Why? Because as many times as we deny Jesus, he takes us back. We remember back how Peter denied Jesus when Jesus was arrested and said, "I don't know the man. I don't know him. I'm not one of his people." Remember when Jesus was arrested and they were pointing to Peter while Peter was standing back watching all this go on? He denied Jesus three times. So there's some symbolism here. The Lord is showing us, the resurrected Christ is showing us, that he not only forgives us, but he challenges us. As many times as we deny him, he forgives us and challenges us to continue on. Continue doing my work. And thirdly, John shows us that the resurrected Christ reminds us that he knows all things. Remember back in verse 6, he said to them, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Now in verse 18, Jesus says to Peter, "I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands. Someone else will dress you and lead you where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And later, if you know any history about Peter's life, you know that in Rome he was crucified upside down. Upside down. And he suffered much pain and torment because of being a follower of Jesus Christ. So the resurrected Christ was showing Peter and shows us and reminds us that he knows all things. And fourthly, John is showing us that the resurrected Christ, the Son of God, commands us to follow him. After Jesus had done all these things, said all these things to Peter, he looked at him and he said simply, "Follow me. Follow me." What does that mean? Well, follow Jesus. What does that mean? When I think of my own life, one of the nice things about the Bible, as I look back over my life, I can see myself in each of the people of the Bible. There's times when I feel like Adam and like I've done my own thing and rebelled against God. There's times when I feel like Jonah. I feel like I've been swallowed up by the world. There's times when I feel like Peter, that I have actually denied Jesus Christ. And that's when I'm most ashamed, when I see myself in Peter, that I've denied Jesus in one way or another. So what's the remedy, I say to myself, when this happens? What's the remedy? Paul said in one of his letters when he talked about the things I want to do I can't seem to do, and the things I don't want to do, they're the things I keep doing. Wretched man that I am. What's the remedy? Go right back to Calvary. Right back to Calvary. And take a right turn at Calvary and stay on that road. We go right back to Jesus Christ and His death on the cross and His resurrection, and we hear Him say, "Follow me." Every time we feel like we've denied Jesus, what's the remedy? Go back to the cross of Calvary and remember that the resurrected Christ is able to do miraculous things in our lives, that He not only forgives us as many times as we deny Him, like Peter, He forgives us. That the resurrected Christ reminds us that He knows all things, and that the resurrected Christ commands us, just keep following me. That word follow means to be in union with, in the same way with, as if we're going on a road. We're traveling down Route 80 and there's a big truck going along. A lot of times you ever find out that 20 miles back that truck passed you, and all of a sudden you're going down the road and you're passing that truck again, you know He's pulled off the road somewhere, but at least you're in union with Him. You're going in the same way. And we do that with Jesus Christ. We follow Him. We're in union with Him, going the same way. Not necessarily doing certain things or works, and certainly not being perfect like Jesus, but listening to Jesus and obeying Him along that path, turn by turn, over one hill, through the valley, as He leads us to the eternal kingdom of God. We follow Him. We remember that He can do miracles in our lives, that He forgives us, that He knows all things, and He says, just follow me. You see, the resurrected Son of God, as John presents Him here, reassured doubting Thomas. And the resurrected Son of God also restored the hope of denying Peter. So you see, He reassures our hope. He reassures us when we're doubting. He restores our hope when we've denied Him. We see that John shows us the power and the presence of the resurrected Son of God, Jesus Christ, in our lives. That He is still alive. That He still does miracles. That as much as we deny Him, His grace is greater than all our sin. He forgives us every time. And that He reminds us, I know all things. I know all about you. I know everything about you in the past. I know everything about you in the future. Follow me. Follow me. Take a right turn at Calvary and stay straight on that road. Right.